Okay. Wednesday, 4:15:26. This is How Faith Works, Part 38. The title is The Law of Faith, this section. Jesus taught his disciples about faith. This is Mark 11. Going to start with second. Start with 11, verse 11. Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, now the eventide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man shall eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now we know Jesus didn't do anything independently of the Father. And they came, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. He taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, and ye have made it a den of thieves? The scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Faith is not a natural force. Let me just say that. Because from experience, I've spoken to a lot of fig trees in my life, mountains, and nothing ever happened. But any time that I ever heard the word of the Lord, like Jesus did to the fig tree, I saw the fig tree dry up, or the mountain move in the case. And that's the point of this series, is faith is not, we've been taught, you know, faith without works is dead. Yes, that is right. But if you ever notice when Jesus ministered to people, he'd say, oh, go show yourself to the priest. These aren't just happenstance words he just threw out there for the heck of saying something to them about it. No, he didn't operate independently. He didn't say independent things. He didn't do independent things. He absolutely, when the Lord told him to do something, just like the fig tree, he just walking along, no figs on it. He had a word of the Lord come to him, speak to that fig tree and tell it to dry up. And it did. Well, Jesus, you know, he could do anything. No, he couldn't. He said, it's Father in me doing the works. It's not me doing the works. It's Father in me doing the works. So if Father in him had to do the works in the Son of God, as a Son of God, we have to allow the Father to do the works in us, not ourselves. Not try to do ourselves. Not to perform. So that's where the word of faith, where I part company with the word of faith. And I don't blame the Word of Faith teachers, because maybe they had it right and they did it right, but I took it and thought, well, if you just say it enough, you'll get it. Don't work that way. Okay. Faith is not a natural force, but a spiritual force. Faith is not carrying out just natural things to try and prove that you are in faith. Faith fact, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week. I care more about your attitude, your thoughts, and what you say, that you're keeping your confession right. Not making confessions, but keeping a right attitude and the right attitude, because people, whatever their mood they're in, will come out of their mouth eventually. Then I do any natural things. In other words, you're trying to do all these things like, well, my foot hurts, but I'm going to walk on it anyway, and you can't hardly walk, and you're, that ain't faith. Well, I got to prove that I'm well. That's not how faith works. So I thought, Lord, that sets me at rest to think that I do not have to perform. I have to hear the word of the Lord. And then when the word is given, I'll speak and bam, it'll happen. It's not one of these things, well, I'll say it 150 times a day and eventually I'll get it. That's not how Jesus operated. Okay. I remember Charles Capp saying that people getting prayed for and abandoning their meds, that there's going to be some funerals. That's just ignorance gone to seed. If your faith's not developed to that place, or you're not in a place where you're willing to wait on the Lord and hear the word of the Lord and then do the word of the Lord, then you shouldn't even be messing with it in the first place. You'd be better off just keep taking your meds and doing what you're doing than to try to work it in your flesh, because I don't know how many books, God's medicine, I've given out. A few months later, well, they're gone. They passed away. They were encouraged and they were doing it, but evidently they didn't get the word of the Lord on it. They were doing the formula, the faith, Christian faith formula. Whole hog when half ready, that's how he put it. And that is so true. People start trying to run with their faith when they can't even walk yet. Okay, faith is an inside operation, and spiritual instruction from the Holy Ghost goes with it. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, right? If he's the author and the finisher, that means get your fleshly self out of it. Because when you get in the mix with your flesh, you've shipwrecked. You'll shipwreck. Faith is an inside operation, and spiritual instruction from the Holy Ghost goes with it. The Lord has a word, has a plan, has a whatever. Well, go show yourself to the priest or rise up and walk or whatever the case may be. Woman with issue of blood, she was already so hyped up with her faith, just touching the hem of his garment. Her faith was on high level. And she just pulled the power out of Jesus. We've been given a measure of faith to carry out spiritual operations. That's Romans 12:3. He dealt to every man the measure of faith. In the Old Testament, there was a natural temple and natural ordinances to carry out, but when Jesus died on the cross, God abandoned this operation and faith became his mode of operations. He's not going to operate through a temple again. I don't, or the biggest, fanciest church in town either. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't get any better than that. It's a personal inside operation that operates through each believer, if they're allowing to. Okay. Hebrews 11:1. See, if people, when they first come into learning about faith, will hear instruction, can save them a lot of heartache. Not trying to work something that they really don't even understand. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, faith is what we're looking for to be the answer to what we're seeking God for. That substance is what we need. Okay, the Strong's there. I looked up that word, substance. It means essence or assurance. You either, peace is the assurance or the essence of the thing itself, manifest. The Lord spoke to us at the beginning of the year that this is the year of reformation. Here's what reformation means in the Strong's. It means to straighten thoroughly, rectification, messianic reformation. Jesus told the woman at the well that the mode of operation was changing. We're going to look at that because this is verse 21, because this is key. A new order was coming, and that's why I had so much trouble with the religious leaders, and that's why we have so much stinking trouble with the Jews today. And if you're a Jew, well, you know, get born again. This is John 4, verse 21 here. He told the woman at the well. Jesus said unto her, woman, because she's talking about, well, y'all Jews, you think the place to worship is Jerusalem and blah, 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 you know? Well, Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Inside job. Inside job. Outside operations became inside operations. And I don't care who you are, if you're spewing that Jew junk, that's all it is. It's a work of the flesh. From the top to the bottom. I feel sorry for the Jews. They're so blinded. Well, the scripture says they're blinded. And they stumbled all over the stumbling stone. Son of God was here himself. They stumbled all over it. He said, pray for Israel. We need to pray for the natural Jews that they'll abandon this temple worship. Because half the church, the Zionist evangelical church, or people, they're looking for a temple over there to gauge when the Lord's coming. Ain't happening. That's an outside operation they're looking for, not an inside. I believe we know in our heart. I believe we'll know it in our heart. We already know in our heart that God is working big in the earth and bringing reformation right now. If you look out there, you're going to miss it. Plain and simple. John 2. Let's look at, start with 12 there. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. The Jews' Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money over through the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. The temple was still where God dwelt at this time. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Quite a statement. Yeah, you know what they thought? 3 days he's going to raise up a physical temple. No clue that he was the Messiah they'd been looking for all their life. Got right past him. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Carnal Christians, carnal Jews. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus told them, No longer will there be an outside operation. There'll be now an inside operation. But when you've done something all your life, it's hard to get out of that. I'm not just knocking on the Jews today in temple worship, but also just stuff. Churchy, fleshly stuff. Churches are crammed full of it, and they think they're doing God's service, and He ain't in it. Now, He may be in some, but not in most. He wants to operate through His people, not a structured format to go by with rules and regulations. Okay, let's keep going here. Here's what Reformation means in the Strong's Concordance. I already read that, to straighten thoroughly. Okay, just a minute. Go to Mark 15. Which you already know this, but for the sake of the other person that I thought was going to be here, I'll put this one in here. This is 15:38. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. In other words, the way into the Holy of Holies was no longer barred. Okay. So that order passed away when Jesus was crucified. And Messianic Reformation began. We're having to redo in our culture. Come back to Jesus, because people believe everything today. Hebrews 7:11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. No longer the law, Levitical law, but the law of faith. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, and of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, see, if the Levitical law was still going to be in place, Jesus would have been a Levite. That was the tribe of the priesthood. But no, he's out of Judah. And it is yet far more evident for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. See, God still couldn't communicate with his man. The priest went in once a year with the blood of goats and bullocks and offered blood, but nobody else could go in. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. He brought in a new priesthood. We're all Christians are considered kings and priests. There is no dividing line. There is no barring that you're not of a certain sect, you're the only ones that can come in. No, God opened the way for everyone to come in. Okay, let's keep going here. After Jesus died, that's what happened. Stephen was stoned because he tried to tell the religious leaders this. First of all, he said, the Lord does not live in temples made with hands. He was a Jew. And he made them so mad, the leaders, that they killed him. Then he said, I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. To them, that was blasphemy. Killed the man for it. No more Old Testament law, but the law of faith came into being at the new birth. That's the first thing. As a Christian, you are born again by faith. Romans 8:8-10. God moved out of the temple, out of the Holy of Holies, and moved into the hearts of men. Men's hearts became his temple. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Think about that. I don't mean this disrespectfully, and I know that the fivefold ministry gift's valuable, and we need to learn sound doctrine. But if you learn to follow the Spirit, you don't need to go to any institution to tell you how to do that. If you will train yourself to listen to the Holy Spirit only, you won't miss it. He knows everything. He's the teacher of the church. Like I said, I'm not saying don't go to church. I'm not saying don't learn sound doctrine. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if a person learns to tap into what's on the inside of them, that they're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and if they'll wait on the Lord long enough, they'll wait and then mount up because the Holy Spirit's given them a plan, they'll operate just like Jesus did. Okay, Romans 10. Verse 1, this is Paul's prayer to God for Israel. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They're going to hell. Did you know that? Judaism will not get you to heaven or get you to salvation. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Jew or Gentile. Makes no difference. God changed it. Let's go to Romans 1 right quick, just a couple of scriptures over here. This is 16 and 17. Paul's talking about the just living by faith here. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if you're a person that's learned to use your faith, you are above and beyond where most are. Now I know some people, you get born again, so you have to use your faith to get born again. You have to believe it and confess it. Pray for natural Israel that they come out of darkness and embrace their Messiah. They've rejected him. They stumbled on the stumbling stone because it didn't meet with their rules and regulations and their traditions. Okay, Romans 3:21 here. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth on Jesus. He made a way. God moved his outside operation to an inside operation. We need to always look on the inside, never to the outside for anything. First. Okay, Romans 8, and this is going to be it. This is Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is that inside operation that we will hear from the Holy Spirit what we need to do.